Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name's Allison Klein, and we've got frequent guest Brian Johnson back in the studio. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
So, Brian, you work on networking equipment for data centers within Intel. Why don't you tell us about the focus of your job and how that relates to Intel's broader strategy in data center computing?
So I work in the LAN access division, so we handle all the Ethernet controllers. We are working with a lot of the virtualization operating systems and vendors, hardware vendors, and storage, and likewise, to simplify and reduce the cost of networking in cloud environments and data center. As we go through these different stages in virtualization and now adding in this cloud computing, we add new technologies, but also new ways of doing things, new deployment models. Mm-hmm. The role that I take is helping define those, but create the best practices, work with our large customers, small customers, and the hardware and software manufacturers to put together, you know, how do we actually do this stuff? How do we actually make it work in a business?
When we look at the evolution of servers and in a data center, there seems to be a need to supply larger pipes to our servers as they become more virtualized, more consolidated, as well as supply them the ability to run different types of traffic over one connection. So can you tell us a little bit about those trends and the technologies that we've been putting into our server adapters to make that happen?
The need for a larger pipe, it's not necessarily about going faster. A lot of the virtualization traffic, the actual VM traffic, is relatively low. What's really starting to drive the need for 10 gigs of throughput is all the backend services, like live migration, fault tolerance. Now adding in storage. So now we have the iSCSI and FCOE traffic that is all being converged over these 10 gig pipes and spreading those out, and then having the control. Having this dynamic software way of splitting up these pipes where everybody still has access to 10 gigs, but we're able to control where the traffic goes, you know, at what speeds, and in a multi-tenant environment, really being able to say, okay, this is how much we have for this tenant. This is how much we have for the back-end aspects for that tenant, and control it. And when they need something, it's not that we have to go over there and plug in a new cable. We don't have to add another 1 gig. We don't have to go reboot the server.
The Open Data Center Alliance is a group that Intel works with. They published an I/O control usage model that talked about the need for prioritization of services and understanding what level of I/O was being delivered per workload within that multi-tenant environment. What is the technical challenge that they're talking about there, and why is that so important to end customers?
Part of it is this paradigm that we had all these 1 gig pipes. We had all these dedicated storage devices and networking devices, and there's this thought, well, if you put everything on one, well, one of them can overrun and block the traffic for everybody. And so these controls actually give control back to the network administrator to say, okay, you only get 1 gig. That's all I want you to have. The challenge is that some of these traffic types can use more bandwidth, and we don't want them to overrun the other side. In other cases, we're also looking at the way they're doing the billing. So like in a multi-tenant environment, you're actually paying for bandwidth. And so it allows them to have additional control over who gets what.
Which gets us to the topic of today, because it becomes very apparent that the virtualization layer is important in the way I/O is controlled. And you guys have been doing some interesting work with VMware on support of vSphere 5. Can you tell us about what the focus has been in terms of the capabilities that you want to deliver for virtualization of I/O and the capabilities of iSCSI and Fiber Channel over Ethernet and all of those different things?
One of the big things around 5.0 was that we did bring in a software initiator for Fiber Channel over Ethernet. So there's a native initiator built into the ESX hypervisor that is enabled on our 10 gig converged Ethernet adapters. And that software adapter takes advantage of the offloads that we have for the data path in our controller, and then they handle the processing protocol. We get excellent performance that way. It scales with the platform. So as the new servers come out, we can actually see scaling performance, increases in performance, decreases in server utilization, and we're not relying on whatever was built into that network controller. So it scales a lot easier. The other aspect is there is this concept of taking a 10 gig connection and breaking it up into multiple smaller pipes. With 5.0, they've added the network I/O control, the storage I/O control, additional capabilities in where that's really not needed anymore. where you can take these 10 gig pipes and allocate the bandwidth by traffic type, not by connection. You can dynamically allocate additional bandwidth. You can scale it back. Instead of this thought of having flexibility, it's more like elastic, mm-hmm. where you have to be able to scale up, but also scale back when you need to, and provide those resources into other areas, and do that without having to physically walk over to a server, change cables, or reconfigure the network. You can do it all through the tools that are provided with VMware.
So what are the Intel products and technologies that actually let this happen?
Well, the first one that comes to mind for me is on the Ethernet side. So the Intel Ethernet Converged Network Adapter, so the X520. We have a new product, the X540, mm-hmm. which is our 10G-based T product. And that will bring 10 gig to Twisted Pair, or the Cat6A type sure. implementations. And that is going to be on as the LAN on motherboard, as an adapters. So it's really going to bring 10 gig.
10 gig on copper, basically.
Yes, it's 10 gig on copper, Twisted Pair, just like your 1 gig.
So they said it couldn't be done. How did you guys do it?
It is a challenge. We're actually the first to bring the product out to market. We have a dual port Mac and Phy, so both parts integrated into a single chip and in the same silicon and in the new 40 nanometer process.
What are the lengths of cabling that you can support on copper for 10 gig?
On the 10G base T, up to 100 meters on a Cat6A cable. So obviously you can go with shorter cables all the way up to 100 gig. And so we can do top of rack, end of row. We can do all kinds of different configurations. One of the big benefits with 10G base T is that it will plug into a 1 gig base T switch. So if you are looking to migrate to 10 gig, you can start putting these servers in with this 10G base T, plug into 1 gig switch, and then when the switch refresh happens or you get critical mass, switch out the switch and you get the benefits.
Anything else from a standpoint of vSphere and consolidating networks? Are we really looking at the future of the consolidated fabric for the data center that we've been talking about for, the last 10 years?
Everything that we've been waiting for is really there now. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of taking advantage of it and realizing that we can take advantage of it.
So Brian, where can people go if they want to learn more about the products that you've talked about and the vSphere support today?
www.intel.com/go/Ethernet. Another good way to go is with the Cloud Builder program. We have several different reference architectures showing how exactly to deploy this.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the program again.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.